Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. Text number 15. Kadama badya manasya. Swarabha kasya kritagasa. Kri anga gulao nam abhutena. Sandade yatsha gopika. Tat dhamma. That binding rope. Badyamanasya. Who was being bound by Mother Yashoda. Swarbhakasya. Of her own son, Krita Angasa, who was an offender, Dwi Angula, by measurement of two fingers, Unam, short, Adbut, became, Tena, with that rope, Sundade, join. Anyacha. Another rope. Gopika. Mother Yashoda. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by distance of the width of two fingers. Thus, she brought another rope to join it. Purport, here in this first chapter of in Krishna's, here is the first chapter in Krishna's exhibition of unlimited potency to Mother Yashoda when she tried to bind him. The rope was too short. The Lord had already shown his unlimited potency by killing Putana, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. Now Krishna exhibited another vibhuti, or display of potency, to Mother Yashoda. Unless I agree, Krishna desired to show, you cannot bind me. Thus, although Mother Yashoda, in her attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, ultimately she was a failure. When Krishna agreed, however, she was successful. In other words, one must be in transcendental love with Krishna. But this does not mean that one can control Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything himself. Seva mukhehi divado svayam evas pratida. He reveals more and more to the devotee as the devotee advances in service. Jivado. This service begins with the tongue, with chanting and talking about and with taking the prasad of Krishna. Atakshi Krishna namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai seva mukhehi jivado swayam evas pratida. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1 to 234. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw the binding rope was short by distance, the width of two fingers, that she brought another rope to join it. This pastime is for our benefit, to show us that although we may make an endeavor, our endeavor is not sufficient. We also need Krishna's mercy. But then how to get Krishna's mercy? It's not that sometimes Krishna is merciful, and sometimes Krishna is not merciful. There is a process of obtaining Krishna's mercy. That process is called devotional service. And the process, as it says here, begins with hearing and then performing service. We hear in order to utilize our tongue to glorify Krishna and to eat prasadam, and to do other kinds of services. But that also requires a certain consciousness. So our philosophy is meant to show us what is the way to perfect our consciousness. Of course, we've come to the material world and we've been here for a long time, so we have already so many conceptions of life that are not accurate. They may be relatively correct according to the material energy, but in terms of absolute knowledge or absolute reality, they're illusory. Like, for instance, we think we're this body. That's quite an illusory conception. But we can't walk out of the body. We can't simply give up the bodily concept of life immediately. But we have to endeavor what is the process of giving it up. And that's called surrender, Sharanagati. So Sharanagati is so nice that we can begin anywhere. Anukulyasya sankalpe, simply by accepting things which were favorable. And the first thing that's favorable is to accept things that are favorable. To make the right choices. In other words, just like we're sitting here, that's a good choice. This, as a matter of fact, according to what we just read, it's the best choice. Now, how we're going to utilize, now we've made the choice to sit here, how we're going to utilize that choice is another choice that we have. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sa shanti matnoti nakama kami. The person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean. So, even when we're sitting here, it's not that we entered into the temple and our material consciousness went away. We've been, somehow or another, we're perfect devotees sitting here with halos around our heads and no thought about anything else goes through our mind. So we have to try to pay attention. Try to pay attention to what's being said, so at least we hear what's being said. And if we hear what's being said, that it's very unlikely we'll be listening to everything else that's going on through our minds at that particular time. So that's the first thing. That's the correct choice, is just to listen. And then, of course, hopefully there'll be something to listen to that is of value, so that we can learn the process of how to surrender to Krishna. Because that's the process, as Prabhupada was just reading in this purport, favorite famous verse, Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya upadeshanti te gyanam gyanina stattvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So then Prabhupada's purport is very valuable. It's always good to memorize these purports because they give us some clarity and reality. And they're a flow of thought. Prabhupada is very systematic. So, generally speaking, we get one idea, but we have to connect all these ideas together, which Prabhupada does very nicely in his purports. So Prabhupada in the purport, I'm not going to start at the beginning of the purport, but in the purport, Prabhupada says that satisfaction of the self-realized souls. Oh, let's start with dry arguments and absurd inquiries condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get... Oh, actually, that goes on later. Let's start at the beginning. That the path of self-realization is undoubtedly difficult. Therefore, the Lord advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. That no one can manufacture his own process. In other words, Yane Priyasam Udapastamanta Eva. Lord Chaitanya accepted the instruction of Ramananda Roy that we have to put aside our tendency to speculate, that we ourselves can figure out what the process is. No, we have to learn the process as it's given to us by disciplined succession. And if we're not self-realized, it means that there must be something lacking in our understanding of the process. So that process is given by Krishna. We can't make it up. It's given by Krishna. And no one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. And somehow or another, we're going to find out from someone else. Go on the internet, go on Facebook, get this speculations of the devotees, and then we'll figure out what the process is. Just a waste of time. Matter of fact, we have a tendency to waste our time a lot, because the process of surrender sometimes is not so appealing. Especially because it entails, as it will be explained here, we have to become humble and realize we can make an endeavor, but ultimately it depends upon Krishna. And Krishna is not going to be satisfied with our endeavor unless it's also with added to it, for instance, humility and knowledge and so many other things. And even to get to the preliminary aspect of understanding which direction to take, Krishna says we have to hear. In order to hear, we have to have some humility. We have to be receptive. We have to think, well, I don't know something. Maybe I should hear, and maybe I'll learn something. So that desire to hear, that anxiousness to hear, is called inquisitiveness. Unless one is inquisitive, then it's not possible to make any progress in any subject, what to speak of spiritual subject. And unless we think we don't know something, then why should we be inquisitive? We think we know everything, that's at least everything that I need to know. Then why should I be inquisitive? Because I already have everything I need to know. I have my place to sleep, I get something to eat, and other things too. So I'm satisfied, complacent. I don't really need to go to the spiritual world because I like this world. It's pretty comfortable, especially at night. My bed is really comfortable. And my only attachment to the material world is in the morning when I wake up, I'm attached to my bed. I don't want to leave it. It's my greatest attachment. I'm glued to the bed. So then Prabhupada says that the Bhagavatam says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, that actually Krishna is the one who gives knowledge. He's the one who gives us the path. He's the one who explains the path. And he has his representatives trying to explain the path, and we're trying to understand the path. And therefore, mental speculation, dry arguments, cannot help one on the right path. Tarko pratishta shrutaya vibhina nasavari share yasyana bhinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena katha sapanta. Yes, arguments are valuable because it clarifies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says we should discuss these things and give our opinions and our realizations and things, but we should realize that there's some limit. In the course of discussion, we might get some more clarification according to who we're discussing with. Tarko pratishta shutiya vibhina. And of course, the scriptures, we have to study the scriptures because they have so much knowledge in them. And nasava rishi yasyana binam. And of course, the rishis are also very learned, and we can take information from them. But ultimately, dharma sitatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasapanta. But ultimately, the path to understand Krishna is hidden in the heart of a self-realized person. In other words, one who's actually self-realized, one who's actually swimming in the ocean of spiritual consciousness, then he can tell us what's the path to the ocean and how to dive in. Now others, Mahadra Yenikatasabanda, we've already chosen leaders. We have millions of leaders flowing through our consciousness since time immemorial. So many people we think are important, so many people we think are special, so many people we think are where we want to be. So we have to be careful, because we've been going to so many places in the material universe, tasyaiva heto, prayate tikovida, following so many people around the universe. Luckily we wound up here, and now we have an opportunity to follow Srila Prabhupada and his representatives in the simple succession. So we have to choose a Mahajan. For those in the mode of ignorance, they choose Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa as their Mahajan. People in the mode of ignorance, big, big leaders, demons, Rakshashas, they become the Mahajan. And for those in the mode of passion, big persons who have acquired material wealth and prestige, they become the Mahajan, for those in the mode of passion. And for the mode of goodness, people who are polite, who are naturalists, who are ecologists, they become the Mahajan, nice people. Like in the jungle, there's ferocious animals like tigers, and there's also nice animals like the deer, but they're all animals. Whether they're a tiger or a deer, they're still animals. So in the material world, everyone is more or less bewildered by the mode of ignorance. Only if one chooses someone who's actually situated in transcendence and tries to follow their instructions can we make progress. And therefore the duty of those who are giving instructions should be to repeat the messages of the Mahajans. Then, what is our duty? What is the Mahajan saying? That one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the simple succession from the Lord himself to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. And one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant. So this is the hard part. Our false ego doesn't like this idea very much. And it's been made very unpopular in modern society. I'm going to become a servant? Forget it. I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. And full surrender, you mean whatever, he says jump, and I simply ask how high. That's ridiculous. That's servitude. That's slavery. Like a menial servant, except in full surrender and serve. So that humility is the basic principle of advancement in the spiritual world and spiritual life. In the spiritual world, everyone is humble. Even God is humble. Everyone there is in love with everyone else. Everything everyone does in the spiritual world is simply to please everyone else out of love. There's nothing else going on in the spiritual world. So the path there must begin with doing everything to serve someone in full surrender. Like a menial servant. Humility. Because that's the mood in the spiritual world. Even Krishna feels himself to be a menial servant. What to speak of our little selves? How can we be puffed up and God is humble? What do we have to be puffed up about? The only thing we have to be puffed up about is our false ego. That's big. Everything else about us is small. Our illusion is big. We're very small. So if we want to become bigger, we have to make our illusion a little smaller. And then Prabhupada writes that satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Now, of course, does that mean when we come in contact with someone who's not self-realized, we can kick them in the head? Because who cares about them? I'm only caring about the self-realized spiritual master. Everyone else is eligible for my kick. No, actually, the self-realized spiritual master teaches us how to serve everyone appropriately. And it's not that he's far, far away, or he left this world, and he doesn't know what's going on, and now I'm free to do whatever I want here. No, if we serve the instructions of the spiritual master, the self-realized spiritual master, then the result is that in any circumstance, then I'll have an opportunity to serve him. The instructions. And if I serve the instructions, then he'll be satisfied, our disciples' succession will be satisfied, and Krishna will be satisfied, and we make spiritual advancement. And if we don't serve the instructions of the self-realized spiritual master, and whoever we're dealing with, whenever we're dealing with anything, then we're lost. Then we're an illusion. Then we're serving some other personality, that some other ghost in our heads that's haunting us. Boo! Some ghost will enter into our head and direct us. Some ghost from the past. Because everyone in this material world is ghostly haunted and simply repeating their ghostly haunted what they've learned from the other ghosts. And when we forget the instructions of the self-realized spiritual master, then we automatically remember our ghostly haunted past, our conditioned nature by the other ghosts floating around this universe. What is that? Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So in other words, we have to be inquisitive. The whole idea is that the reason why we're reading this 10th canto is maybe it's true. There's some possibility. It might even be true. There might be a spiritual world and where everyone lives forever. Not a bad idea. Since I'm struggling since time immemorial to survive here, it'd be nice to go to a place where we didn't have to struggle so much. And everyone there is full of happiness and love and bliss. Doesn't sound like a really terrible place to go to. So we have to actually have some faith. It might exist. Of course, under the spell of the illusory energy, we don't know what's going on. So when we hear about some spiritual world, it doesn't really necessarily hit our heart directly. It may hit our intelligence a little bit, and therefore that's good enough. And therefore we have to become a little inquisitive. What it would be like, even in this lifetime, to experience a little bit of that one drop of mercy coming from Krishna. That inquisitiveness is necessary because Krishna is fulfilling our desires in this material world. So we have some desire to go to the spiritual world, a little bit, a little inquisitiveness, what it would be like to experience the spiritual world for a fraction of a moment. Then Krishna will reciprocate. So, inquisitive, but that's not sufficient. And submission. We actually have to have a little bit of belief, a little faith it might exist, and a little willingness to do something to be merit an experience. So inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. So that's our eligibility, spiritual understanding. And unless there is submission service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So submission is both in the first part and the second part. And inquiry is in service. So in between inquiry, submission, then there should be some practical service. Something to show Krishna that we're actually interested, we're really sincere. That's sincerity. We weren't born sincere. We were born in ignorance. Anyone in ignorance is not is sincere about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But if, apart from that spiritual life, anyone in ignorance, how can they be sincere about spiritual life? They have no idea what it is. What to speak of being sincere about it. Therefore, submission and inquiry is at the beginning of the proper combination for spiritual understanding. And unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So, inquiry means that we'll sit here and we'll listen, we'll try to listen to this philosophical discourse. And then we try to listen submissively. We try and actually listen, not that, who is this person, why is he, say, you know, whatever. Why should I listen to this? And then we should be prepared to do something. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So there must be something we add to our lives, something of devotional service we add, a little bit more extra service we do, and then we do it with some enthusiasm, some care, some attention, some priti, some affection, some love, something. And then didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna gives the intelligence, the realization, the illumination by which the path becomes clearer. And what is the path? Because it doesn't stop there. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. So here's where it gets a little serious. If we join the Hare Krishna movement, we thought everything was going to go my way. God's on my side. All my enemies will be defeated. Now everything will be given to me in abundance because I'm a devotee. Because I chant, snake, snake, ram, ram, day, day, day. Therefore, everything will come automatically. It doesn't work that way. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, the Pandavas, everyone is put to tests. What to speak of our poor selves? Unless we have tests, how are we going to pass the final test? If we think we're going to have a happy, prosperous, peaceful, enjoyable life now that I'm a devotee. And at the time of death, I'll just automatically, when my body's painful in every part, every atom in my body is painful, I'm going to blissfully chant Hare Krishna. No, we have to pass so many tests in order to be prepared for the final test. And Krishna's there watching. He sees, in spite of the inconvenience, in spite of the problems, as Prabhupada said about book distribution, they're going out in all kinds of weather, so many inconveniences. You approach someone, they tell you immediately, get lost or get a job, get out of my face. Not the most pleasant things to see, to hear. People didn't come to the material world to hear it. Other people say, get lost, get out of my face, get a job. You're a member of a cult. Die and make my life blissful. No, it's an austerity. What to speak of going out and people just ignore you. You're out there for 3 hours and people act like you don't even exist. Couldn't care less if you were there, if you wherever you were. So it's a test. And there's so many tests. Even in when we deal with each other, it's automatically a test. How am I going to deal with this other devotee? They stole my globulin. How am I going to deal with them? You rascal! You heard that pastime of King Riga, right? If you become a lizard, you'll be lucky. You're not pious enough to even to become a lizard. Now, how are we going to deal in this test? Every moment is a test. How are we going to deal with it? And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with spiritual understanding. So we should be prepared. We're being prepared every moment. This class and everything else we're doing is preparing us from one test after another we're facing, so we can do better at it. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So we're not here to blindly follow that I already heard enough. I just follow whatever I think I understand. And we don't absurdly inquire. I'm so inquisitive, I ask about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with my personal advancement in devotional service. I'm interested in everything except for my personal advancement in devotional service. Therefore, one should not only hear submissively, but one should try to get a clear understanding. We want to get clarity exactly what Krishna wants us to do, clarity exactly who I am, clarity of what's going on in this universe, clarity what is spiritual existence really. We want experience, complete clarity. So one should not only hear submissively, but one should get blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So these three things we should remember. I have to develop my inquisitiveness. If I read about all these nonsense things that are going on in the material world all the time, I'll simply develop inquisitiveness. Oh, what's this war going on? Oh, who did what to what? Oh, who stole what? Oh, what scandal is going on? So we're inquisitive. We're always inquisitive. Every bird is inquisitive. Beep, 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 beep. Where's the worm? They're also inquisitive. But we have to become inquisitive about my spiritual advancement in life. So one should get a clear understanding through submission. So we have to be submissive to the right persons. And we have to become inquisitive. What do they have to help me to become advanced in my Krishna consciousness, to get this clarity of reality? And then I have to do what's necessary once I find out what's the path towards realization. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. When the spiritual master is submissive and is always ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiry has become perfect. So we have to read these books, we have to follow the process, and then that's a manifestation of our inquisitiveness. Everything else is something else. And if we be submissive to the right persons, have the right, keep their instructions always within our heart, and be ready to follow them, then our inquisitiveness, our trying to understand what's going on in these books, what's going on in the devotional service, then gradually that will be revealed to us. Because the acharyas will be pleased with us, and therefore the reciprocation of knowledge and our inquisitiveness will become perfect. In other words, we'll become Krishna conscious. Krishna will reveal himself to us, and our lives will become more and more perfect in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? So just the point is that in this verse, Mother Jasoda was trying to bind Krishna, but it was not possible because although she was making the endeavor, she had to develop the right attitude also. She had to realize that she was not the controller, that ultimately depended upon Krishna. Ultimately, we may make our endeavor, but ultimately we're not trying to become the controller. It's not sufficient. It's our attitude of submission, inquiry, and surrender that will actually make the difference. So any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for lecture knowledge. I'm wondering, from youth, the teachers ask to compete with each other, like surviving from the fittest, something. And I understand theoretically that the only one I should compete is myself, but I still notice that in some occasions, whenever I see I'm better than someone in something, my mind gets rested with that idea and being puffed up. How can we overcome or avoid competitiveness with others?
Well, competitiveness is all right if it's utilized in devotional service to please Krishna. We're trying to compete with each other to please Krishna. But there's no envy. If we see someone's better than we are, we don't become envious of them. We appreciate it. And we try to do better service than them to please Krishna. They're inspirations to us, those who are better, so we can come to a higher level. Without people seeing those who are better than us, then how can we inspire to improve? And if we see others who are lower than us, then we should be merciful to them, because that will help us improve, becoming more merciful to help others. So how to do it? It's practice. Try to follow the example and the mood of the great devotees. And then we'll become devotees too.
So we should see it like an opportunity.
Everything is an opportunity. There's nothing but opportunities to serve Krishna. It's just a question of just seeing it properly, that's all. So whatever is going through our minds, because so many things go through our mind, we can't tackle them all at once. But tackle one of them and turn it around in Krishna consciousness with a Krishna conscious perspective on it. Anything else? Yes.
So when someone comes to the point to be tested on humility, what is the best way that one can preach to himself, herself, to develop better understanding of the situation and go through that test and rise up the consciousness?
Well, just like, for instance, if you had to lift 500 kilos, generally you have to start with 10 kilos, 20 kilos, and try to lift them and practice regularly until you get the strength, and then gradually then one becomes more and more stronger, 100 kilos, maybe 150, etc. By practice and by suitable practice and by detachment from the idea I'm going to become perfect all at once. So we practice, and then as we practice, we'll get better. Humility can be theoretically, we can imitate humility, which is not bad either. Better to imitate something good. But on the other hand, real humility will manifest itself when we see how wonderful everything is. When we fall in love with everyone, then we'll become humble. When we fall in love with Krishna and fall in love with everyone and everything in relation with Krishna, then real humility will be there. When we realize how nice everything is, then we won't be worried about how nice I'm supposed to be. Because everyone else will be, well, if we love everyone, then we'll feel very humble and insignificant compared to them. Anything else? Khala Granthraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.